It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
It is a drive home edition, a happy drive home edition of Rico Bronya. As the New York Mets do a lot of the things we love about this team, such as Francisco Lindor being a man, being the man, and continuing to crush it, as he has been a completely different player since being moved to the leadoff spot. We love that. We love Brandon Nimmo going up Otako. We love that. We love Jose Quintana delivering. Look, I'd have to go back through every start he's made, but let's just say the best start he's made is a New York Met. It's tough to get much better than seven innings, two base runners, one hit, and a cheap hit batsman. We saw that, which was great. And then we saw the ugly. And what I'm talking about with the ugly is this garbage bullpen, and it is garbage. Today, officially, we remove Reed Garrett from the circle of trust. Reed, thank you for participating. You will continue to have a roster spot, but until further notice, you have now been kind of moved into that area of the bullpen where Jake Diekman resides, which is we're probably still going to have to put you in big spots, but you suck. Now, before we get to the team, I want to ask you guys a question for those watching on the video portion of our podcast. Did I make a mistake by bringing this home? What I'm holding up is my pastrami sandwich that I got from the Mike Piazza Club. I was very hungry today. It was actually a great gesture. I brought a buddy of mine to the game, Dennis, and Dennis was like, I'm going to get you the pastrami sandwich. It's on me. You take me to these games. I got you. And usually I don't accept, but I said today, you know what? I'm accepting. And this pastrami sandwich was tremendous. I got to tell you, it was fantastic. Now, it was a little too much for me, way too much meat. So I had to pick the pieces of meat off to, like, not cause myself to have digestion issues. But it was amazing. Problem was, I'm trying to score a game while eating this monstrosity of a pastrami sandwich that, might I say, was freaking fantastic. So I eat one half of the sandwich. I put it down because I need to score the rest of the game. I need to watch Reed Garrett try to throw the game down the drain. I needed to watch Adam Ottavino remind us who Adam Ottavino is, which is his nickname is DFA. Do taxi drivers think they own the world? Like, you can't make a U-turn wherever the F you want. I'm going to give his number out just so everybody knows. AD398. You're a douche. Okay? There you go. Got that off my chest. I don't know what we can do with that number, but that guy just decides to make a U-turn in front of Citi Field. No care in the world. Like, who cares? If you hit me, whatever. I don't mind. And there he is. Anyhow, I only ate half the sandwich. And my thought was, this was a really good sandwich. Like, I don't want to just leave it at Citi Field. I want to finish it. I want to finish my story. I want to finish my stomach story by eating this freaking sandwich. So was it weird for me to take it out of the ballpark with me and bring it home? I don't know. I can tell you that this is probably something we may discuss on Evan and Tiki on Wednesday at some point during the show. Let's say at 3:35. I don't know. But I think it was the right call, because why would I waste good pastrami? It tastes really good. I enjoyed it. It was just too troublesome to eat while I was scoring the game. And I was sitting in a different seat tonight. Usually I'm in an aisle seat, which gives you kind of that wiggle room to kind of move your arms around, move your legs around, do all that kind of crap. Couldn't do it. Anyhow, back to the baseball. This was, on a lot of levels, a perfect game, with the exception of the bullpen. When you look at Jose Quintana, and here's the frustrating thing about Quintana. We know how good he is. Like, I looked at him coming into the season, I think a lot of us did. Oh, by the way, someone is wearing a Carlos Torres Mets jersey. If I could get my phone out, but I'm not going to do that because we're on the Rico, and take a picture of this. This is a Carlos Torres Mets jersey? Come on! That's amazing. Anyhow, Jose Quintana is good. I want Met fans to repeat that. Jose Quintana is good because, hold on, I'm making a turn. Okay, we're good. Didn't kill anybody. Let's not forget what he did last year in the second half. Let's not forget what he did after the trade deadline when he was traded a couple of years ago before the Mets had signed him as a free agent. Like, Quintana's one of those reliable arms, and for whatever reason, over the first half of the season, really until his last couple of starts, and how brilliant has his last few starts been. We didn't see that. We saw a guy that was walking too many people. We saw a very inconsistent starter. And I think what Quintana is reminding us, specifically with these two games against Washington, is how good he can be. Now, I know that leads to the discussion of, well, Ev, are you going to use him as a trade chip to get bullpen help? I don't know if that kind of trade is out there that we've discussed on the Rico, and I did a little bit on the air today, the idea of taking one of your starting pitchers, because the Mets actually have depth at starter, despite no one really being a full ace, and using that to a kind of starting needy team and acquiring a reliever. What I've always said is you never want to fall too much in love when a guy is pitching well, but Quintana's different because we know what he can be. And I think what we've seen over the last few starts is just how solid he can be. The Mets need this Jose Quintana. And they need this Jose Quintana not just because, hey, seven scoreless innings is amazing. Who can't use that? But they need the innings. One of the important qualities of Mets starting pitchers over the next few weeks is that you not only need to pitch well, sure, that's a given, but you need innings. Because asking this bullpen to get a lot of outs, it's a tough chore. I mean, look at this game. The Mets only asked their bullpen to get six outs. That's it. You go to Adam Ottavino, he gets booed off the mound, promptly gives up the two-run home run, walking guys. Like, it was bad. Luckily, he got one out. And then you right after have to go to Dednell Nunez, one of your key relievers. He's fine. He gets the big two outs, continues to be one of the relievers you trust. You could argue he's their most reliable reliever at this point. Then you try to steal three outs from Reed Garrett. When I was even thinking five-run lead, maybe you go back to Eric Orsi and allow him to actually record an ERA. But okay, you want to play it safe by going to Reed Garrett, and he can't even get through the ninth inning. And that's off a game in which you scored seven runs and you got seven innings out of your starting pitching, and yet you still struggled to get those six simple outs out of your bullpen. So what is so important from anyone who's in this rotation, and we certainly know who's in it now, Quintana, Manaea, Severino, Scott, David Peterson, is innings. I mean, right now, give me seven innings, three runs over five innings, one run. I know that may sound nuts, but innings are so important with this bullpen. But Quintana was brilliant today, and he continues to remind you of what he's capable of doing. Francisco Lindor, look, we got lucky. Because on the radio show I do today, we took a caller about Francisco Lindor, who is a guy literally apologizing about his anti-Lindor take. And it got me and Loogie on a little bit of a rant about, why did you doubt him? And I don't think we ever did here on the Rico. It was always, and I know it was annoying, back of the baseball card, back of the baseball card, back of the baseball card. Because the back of the baseball card is true. And yeah, it sucks that he was bad in April. Like, Lindor knows it. He made that comment the other day about not being an all-star. It would have been better if he didn't have a crappy April. We all know that. But I don't understand why Met fans are so quick to turn on him when he goes through these slumps. It's okay to be frustrated. Like, they're two very different things. There's, hey, this guy's struggling. He needs to get it going. And the criticism of a guy not playing well, which I certainly do. I don't hide from that. And then there's the, you know what, this guy stunk all along. This guy's not clutch. What a terrible contract. He's washed up. Like, we take it to an extreme level. And I think what Lindor has shown us, all of us, is that he's still pretty good. And if he doesn't live up to your expectations because you set them in a place that he hasn't reached, okay, fine. But he is, right now, the catalyst of this offense. You could argue Nimmo, especially for how clutch he's been. But Lindor in the leadoff spot has worked. And him and Brandon Nimmo kind of reminding the baseball world, we're the all-stars, Pete ain't. And I don't want to make this like an anti-Pete Alonso thing, because quite frankly, when you're winning, who cares? It's like DJ Stewart. I did not like DJ Stewart being in this starting lineup. I don't think DJ Stewart should even be on this roster anymore. I think he has gotten enough opportunities and enough playing time where he should be optioned. And if I'm not mistaken, he does have options, so you wouldn't even have to DFA him. He should go back to the minor leagues. And Brett Beatty should be up here. And Brett Beatty should get those at-bats. Well, how is he going to get those at-bats? Stick him at second base. Or dare I ask this question? And maybe this is a dumb question to ask, but I am driving home off of a nice little high of a Met victory. Is it possible, and I'm sure the answer is no, but I'll ask it, Is it possible for J.D. Martinez once a week to play the outfield? Is that possible? Maybe it's not. Maybe he's too old. Maybe he's too brittle. Maybe he don't want to mess around. But D.J. Stewart can't get these at-bats anymore. Tyrone Taylor at the least should. Jeff McNeil in right field with Iglesias at second should. But I don't want to harp on that because when you score seven runs and you get a brilliant performance by Jose Quintana, who cares about the other stuff, right? The Mets won. They're at 500, and they began this homestand, a very important homestand, a homestand in which they need to do work. They need to be above 500 when this homestand ends. To me, that is a must. It got off to a very nice start. But it's reminders of what this team needs. They did make a trade earlier today. Phil Maton, the former Astro, now the former Tampa Bay Ray. I think of him with the Astros. They brought him in for nothing. They brought him in for cash. And that's one of those things where you can't complain about a trade like that. That is David Stearns listening to Brandon Nimmo, listening to his fans, and listening to his own brain, in which he says, I've got to do something. I am not going to scream and yell that they need to back up the truck for Tanner Scott, or they need to back up the truck for Mason Miller, or whoever you want to come up with, some top-end reliever that's going to cost you a lot. I'm not saying they should do that, but what they need to do is add major league relievers to their roster. Phil Maton, and granted, we may turn on Phil Maton. It is very possible that in a couple of weeks, we are going to feel like he's Michael Givens all over again. Or you want to go back further, Billy Taylor. Whatever crap reliever the Mets have acquired in which our attitude was, great, it's a reliever, it can't hurt, and then the guy stinks. But he is a major leaguer, and Eric Orsi isn't. Am I right? Tyler J isn't. And those are some of the guys that have been called up. Tyler Adcock isn't, right? Some of the guys that have been up here. Matt Festus isn't. I guess I can go on and on. So I like the trade, but you should like the trade because there's nothing to lose. They gave up cash. They're spending money to bring in a major league reliever. Do they need to add more? Yeah, I think if the Mets continue to play decent to solid baseball and remain in this race, and this clearly continues to be their big bugaboo, they've got to add bullpen help. Now, one of the other options, we've talked about it on the Rico, talked a little bit about it on the air today, is do you take a starter and move him to the bullpen like they did with Jose Buto? It's an option. Now, Joey Lucchesi isn't here anymore because for some reason they DFA'd him to make room for Jesus Christ. I just said his name. The former reliever of the Rays and the Astros.
Phil Maton.
You know I'm screwed when I said his name and then 30 seconds later I'm like, what's his name again? Anyhow. I'm about to get on the Whitestone Expressway, and the air conditioning is pumping because it wasn't that it was hot. It was that it was humid. It was a very, very hot, disgusting, humid night at Citi Field. And I was sitting in, like I mentioned, different seats, so I was crunched together with other people. And then you feel their sweat get on you, and it's just disgusting. And they feel my sweat get on them. Now, I am a good person when I'm sitting very close to people. I fold up the book. Not a big folder, not a fan of the folder, but I don't want to spread my book out on everybody's lap. That's very disrespectful. So I did the fold. But it was a very hot and humid night. You could see that on the Brandon Nimmo home run. I did not think where I was sitting in 321 today, that ball off the bat was getting out. But hey, it did. And that was able to give the Mets that early lead, especially after they failed to score in the first inning. The first inning was very frustrating because they had a great opportunity to put pelts on the board, if you will. And we saw Pete Alonso hit that little dribbler in front of the mound. And we saw the Mets come up small with that golden opportunity in the first inning. So it was huge to respond in the second inning, to beat up a guy that shut them down in Jake Irvin less than a week ago in Washington, D.C. It was a very, very good win, a very nice, satisfying, neat, and organized victory for the New York Metropolitans on a Tuesday night. It was also a really nice crowd. And I asked my buddy this question. I don't know what they announced, Pete. If you saw the announced crowd, we could play a guessing game because I'm going to guess with the people in the upper deck, I'm going to give you an official guess of 31,000, which I think is really good for a Tuesday night. But what we were debating was, did they get the big crowd because, hey, it's a summer night, and they're playing well, which is a fine enough answer. Did they get the big crowd because it's $5 Tuesday, which is a brand new gimmick at Citi Field where like every food item is $5, something of that nature? Or did they get the crowd because they gave away this soccer Mets jersey? I don't know the answer. And I think we'll get the answer tomorrow, because if the Mets attendance is significantly lower tomorrow on another beautiful night against the same opponent, then I would say $5 Tuesday, soccer jersey, that's what played a big part of the Mets getting that crowd. Pete, by the way, do you have the official attendance from this game tonight? Because my official guess is about 30,000 to 31,000. I'll go with 31,000.
Hold on a second. I didn't look that up. I was too busy trying to help my son pull out his tooth. Hold on.
Well, hold on. That's a much more important thing than finding out the attendance of a, I don't give a damn if it's a drive home Rico or not. I think we'd all agree pulling out your son's tooth is more important than how many schmucks showed up on a hot, humid night at Citi Field.
31,243.
I nailed it. Yeah, and by the way, that's a really good crowd Tuesday night. Do you have a guess on if it's the soccer jersey $5 Tuesday or none of the above? The Mets are playing well. It's a summer night. People want to go to a baseball game.
I have to be honest. I think it's a little bit of everything. It's not one thing. It's a bit of everything. I think that people are actually starting to get excited about this team, which is good. Plus the fact that, yeah, the Mets are trying to give a reason – for the fans to come besides the team. So it's working on all areas.
It's a little combo factor. Yeah, I think we'll get a better idea for the game two of this series on Wednesday night to see what the attendance is. But either way, look, it's a fun night. The Mets are playing good baseball. Here's the way I'd phrase it. And I always thought this was important after you get done with a hot streak, is to stabilize. Now, no one is crazy enough, other than, you know, optimistic Loogie, to think that you can play at an elite clip for a long time. Like, I think baseball seasons are made up this way. Play 500 for most of the season, have a couple of really big hot streaks, and you win 90 games. Just minimize the losing. Minimize the horrible stretches that the Mets went through to start the season and went through in the middle of May. The Yankees are going through right now. Since, let's say, the hot streak ended, you want to go with the OMG concert. I know that's a nice line of demarcation for a lot of people. Fine, because the facts are they started to cool off after they won the opener against Houston. That's when the real hot streak started to end. The month of June was ending. I forget the exact dates, but right around there, they go 0-2 against Houston in the last two games. They go 2-2 against Washington. They go 2-2 against Pittsburgh. So 5-6. In their last 11 games. I mean, yeah, that's stabilizing. Now, I think that this homestand is the period of time where you need to do better than stabilizing. This needs to be a little bit of a streak. Like I said, get above 500 going into the All-Star break and going into a series against Miami coming out of the All-Star break. And a Yankee team that you'd have to think is going to be playing better than this. I mean, they're a disaster right now. I continue to think that they're better than the way they're playing, but you guys as Met fans know that's kind of the way I look at things. I don't like to judge when we're at our worst. It's why it took me a very long time to get ultra negative on this team this year, because teams go through bad stretches. But the Mets have stabilized right now. But in this series against Washington, with Colorado coming in, with five more games on this homestand, go win 4 out of 5. I mean, but coming in was to go 5-1. They got off to a good start with a nice victory tonight against the Washington Nationals. I am now flying home at a top speed, and that is my cue to say adieu. And thank you for checking in on a drive home edition of Rico Bronya, whether you are watching live on YouTube or listening via the podcast. Thank you very much for listening and subscribing and enjoying one thing, selfish. I am on an 8-game winning streak seeing the Mets live. How about that? That guy, that has to be one of the longest personal winning streaks I've ever been on. The last time I saw the Mets lose a game, it's 8 in a row overall, was in London for the first game in London. Since then, and I'm not going to bore you by naming all of the games specifically, but I am on a personal 8-game winning streak. Just so you know, I'm not going tomorrow. I cannot go Thursday. We're on the air. I'll be there Friday, and I'll be there Sunday. So We'll see if the streak continues. I hope it doesn't, because I just hope the Mets keep winning. And then, yeah, they happen to win when I'm there as well. Anyhow, thank you for listening and downloading another edition, a Drive Home edition, the 300th episode edition. How could I forget? Happy 300 to the Rico family. We appreciate your loyalty. We appreciate Pete Hoffman, who works his ass off doing it. And thank you to all of you. It is much appreciated. Happy 300 from Rico Gronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Gronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.